Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. So glad to meet with you again.
And you also. And what shall we discuss?
Well, you gave me an assignment the last time that I've got to, I and my friends were going to be working on the 8 Beatitudes of Jesus.
Yes.
And I'll try to make sense of all my scribbling here. I've done a lot of homework. They're not with me today, but they gave me some feedback a little bit when we met the last time, the three of us. So I'm going to try to make some sense of my notes here and see what you think about this.
Very well.
All right. Well, the first beatitude that I took from the Gospel of Matthew was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And with a lot of thinking about this, I thought, first of all, I went to the dictionary and got other words to fill in. And so I like things like, oh, the bliss of the humble in spirit. For after the shift, we know the connection with essence.
And I would.
Would that good be good?
I would agree, but even now, how does it apply to you now?
Okay, I was thinking about the opposite of humble is not arrogant or prideful. And my question came up, especially now with the political scene that we see and all of the anger and the throwing of insults and whatnot that's going on. Are arrogant people disconnecting with essence?
Not entirely. It is dependent upon whether the individual is being aggressive or not. But aggression is a disconnect. But an individual can be arrogant and not necessarily be aggressive. And in that, there's a difference between assertive and aggressive. Now, I would express that in relation to that, individuals are not necessarily disconnecting because they are being arrogant. I would say more so that arrogance is an expression that individuals generate when they are attempting to prove. And in that, perceiving themselves to be absolutely right, and therefore other individuals to be absolutely wrong. In this, that expression of arrogance in many situations, likely most situations, is more of a camouflage than it is disconnecting in actuality. I would express that, yes, in some capacities it does create a disconnection from what is around you, and it is a shield which somewhat does not allow you to connect with whatever is around you, including other individuals. But I would not necessarily express that it is a disconnect from essence. Now, how would you describe or apply this particular beatitude in another capacity?
Well,
In the manner of what it shouldn't be, or what it isn't, but rather in what is it expressing that applies to all of you now?
I would say, I was looking at, you know, the whole list here, poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger for and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, the pure of heart, the peacemakers. And I thought that all of those terms, to me, symbolize a kind of a tranquility of spirit, and that it would be the most, give me the ease of existing and exchanging ideas and energy with everybody around me or everybody in the world, because that is the most natural energy of essence. Now, am I correct?
Yes, in a general sense.
Okay, and then these other things that would be opposite would be the thickening of energy that would make it more difficult to maneuver in this dimension.
Yes, I would agree in general sense, yes.
So, taking this first one, you know, let's see, the humble, not arrogant or prideful. I was thinking of my experiences with other people who do not agree with my point of view, and trying to link tolerance in with that, so that it would become a natural thing for me to be tolerant of another person's opinion. To me, that would be a humble spirit.
Now, what I would express is that it is not as much a matter of being tolerant as it is a matter of being accepting.
Ooh.
Or tolerance is somewhat of a tricky expression, for although you attach a positive association with tolerance, in actuality, tolerance is an expression of you continue to hold your judgment, but in holding the judgment, you are not necessarily expressing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you continue to hold that judgment of the other individual is incorrect or wrong, but you tolerate their wrongness.
Oh, yeah.
And in that, you don't challenge it. But it is not actually changing what you are expressing. And it doesn't change the energy of what you are expressing. Now, conversely, if you are expressing acceptance, then you are allowing for whatever the disagreement is to not be absolute. You are recognizing that you continue to hold to your direction and your opinion, and expressing that it is right for you, but not necessarily generating that association that it is right universally, that absolutely right. Therefore, there is that allowance that the other individual's expression is not right for you, but that does not mean that it is absolutely not right.
I remember you've brought that up a number of other times, and I just forgot that difference. So, okay, it takes a lot of patience to learn acceptance of other people's opinions when I feel strongly about mine.
I would very much agree, and I would express that that is an excellent use of that word, for that is precisely what it requires. Is patience. So what is patience? It is allowance.
It is allowance, yeah.
That is precisely what it requires to be accepting. In that, it is a matter of becoming genuinely more aware of yourself and therefore being comfortable, satisfied and confident with yourself in every direction, in whatever the subject may be, and therefore not being threatened by those differences, that you can allow those differences, for it is not necessary for you to protect your point of view.
Those are some good reminders to me here.
Let me express to you in this, if you are translating this first beatitude in relation to your present time framework and your language, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, in that, if you are translating that, not literally, but conceptually, in this, it is a statement of the individual that is not boastful, that is not pushing, that is not attempting to be the expression of the rich, which is the expression of being self-absorbed. In this, it is the recognition of that interconnectedness, in a manner of speaking, for them, it is not an expression of being self-absorbed, but being self-centered. Not self-centered in the manner that you are accustomed to using that terminology, but in the two words, the two terms, self and in that being centered.
Self and being centered.
Yes. Self-centered.
Self-centered.
And if that would be the reverse of being self-absorbed, which would be the statement of being rich. At bottom, in this, remember, consider the time and the language in which these Beatitudes were presented. Now, in that time framework, a rich man was a very consistent, not that there were not exceptions, but generally speaking, was a very consistent display or example of an individual that was self-concerned. Now remember that word, concern.
Okay.
And in that, concern is different from caring. And in that capacity, concern, as I have expressed, is always a discounting.
Is always dis- that word is means a discounting, you say?
Yes. Yes. But when you express concern, what you are doing is you are projecting an energy that there is something better, something more, that you, if you are concerned, let us say, in any capacity, it matters not what it is, there is some aspect of you that believes that you have a better expression. That can be applied, which automatically is discounting, for it is not acknowledging of what is. In this, regardless of what you are concerned about, that concern expresses that there is something wrong.
Yeah, I guess it does. Yeah.
That, in that time framework, and in that expression, that is the reason that those words were chosen, for it speaks to what the individuals knew and what was known to them. In that, rich meant that, in a manner of speaking, separation and the self-concerning.
Discerning or concerning?
Concerning. If you are self-concerned, you are continuously striving to generate what you think of as better. Not necessarily beneficial, not necessarily in an edifying manner, but to present the facade of you have it all. Therefore, in that, it generates that self-absorption rather than self-centeredness. The individual is not centered. They are absorbed with themselves. And nothing else. Or it creates that separation, which in a manner of speaking does generate a disconnect. Therefore, the choice of the words, blessed are the poor in spirit, for in that the poor represent the association of not being self-absorbed, and therefore in that, in the social structure, so to speak, the poor are the example of more interconnectedness, reliance on each other, more community, and in that, that creates a different type of richness. And in that also, in relation to the society at the time, the poor are the representative of always seeking.
Oh, yes.
And in that, always moving in a direction to expand themselves. Rich are not in the direction of seeking or expanding themselves. Rich are the symbol of taking and only being self-concerned, which is that expression of what can be gained only for self. Therefore, in this, how does that apply if you are translating it to your present time and your present social structure and your present society and yourselves? How does that statement, that beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, how does that apply to you now? How does it edify you and express an encouragement and a benefit to you?
Well, with all of your defining now of the poor in, poor in spirit, I would think that we're becoming more aware of our interconnectedness. We are hopefully becoming seekers, greater seekers, which would be similar to what the poor people that in that generation were seekers. But I guess what I would place this, I still go back to my dictionary definitions of humble, and hopefully this sort of feeling of humility and interconnectedness with everybody would bring me a sense of connectedness with my essence.
I would agree. The most significant point is that interconnectedness, that you are interconnected with everything. You are not separate. You are not separate from all the other individuals, even those that disagree with you or that express a different point of view or different opinions from yourself. You are interconnected with that. Therefore, in some capacity, even if you disagree with another individual, they are reflective of you. And as I expressed in a previous conversation, with other individuals in presenting that idea of the next step, so to speak, that is a significant piece of it. For that next step is in that interconnectedness, the realization that everything is actually a reflection to you, not a mirror, a reflection. But in that, everything that you reflect to yourself has some component, there is some piece in everything of what you want. But regardless of whether it is a situation, an experience, an expression, a choice, regardless, and regardless of whether it is something that you disagree with or that you don't like or that is uncomfortable, it matters not. Even in that, there is something, there is some piece, some component that is expressing something that you want. Therefore, in relation to that interconnectedness, it is a matter of recognizing that not only is that genuine, and that everything you encounter, everyone you encounter, is interconnected with you. But also that everything you encounter and everyone you encounter presents an opportunity to you, because you are interconnected. Regardless of whether you agree or disagree.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get my mind around those concepts. I remember reading a fairly recent transcript where you were describing this reflection concept and how we can get an aspect of that reflection. I mean, we, you know, it horrifies us sometimes when you say that these are our own reflections, you know, because we think, why would I reflect something like that? But then you said there are many facets of on that reflection that we have to examine, and I'm trying to get my mind around that because it's quite complex in my mind.
Choose one example of an interaction that you might have with another individual that is difficult for you because you disagree with the other individual.
Yes.
What would you express? One example.
I'll take the most common one that happened with my group, the study group. I've been offering this information from you, from your, from this source, and one of the individuals, Ken, in the group, we tried to be all, what should I say, provide information from many sources. This was one of the evening studies. And he grasped the information from Kryon, and he's been studying that very closely. And you know, it's been hard for me when he would bring that to our sessions and he would be discussing that with us, not to jump in and say, but Elias says this. Because I think that the message is clearer, you know, from the Elias source. Well, and then I realized, well, I shouldn't be doing this. Of course, I know there are not, we shouldn't be saying shouldn't and so on. But nevertheless, I feel like I'm uncomfortable because I'm trying to push my concepts, you know, and to show that they might override what Ken, for instance, is taking to heart and studying. So how do I how do I turn this into acceptance and through patience, and just stand back and let him voice all of this information and give him support for his ideas. How can I do that from the soul?
Very well. Now let us genuinely examine that and include this first beatitude.
Okay.
Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, recognizing that as a statement of interconnectedness and community, and in that you are not alone, and then incorporating that concept that everything you present to yourself is a reflection. That very well, therefore, mm-hmm. this individual is reflecting something to you. Mm-hmm. Now, that you can assess the obvious piece of the reflection. This individual is presenting something to you that you disagree with, and therefore it causes you to react. Therefore, that is the obvious piece of the reflection, that you are being given the opportunity to view that automatic expression of reaction. And in that, what is the piece of the reflection that you want? Now, in that, this individual is expressing his connection, his believing, his trust in what this other essence is expressing. He is receiving that, and he is accepting it, and in that, what is the peace that you want? It is easy.
It is what?
Easy. He is not complicating it by analyzing. He is not analyzing himself to discern how to apply it. He is not complicating it tremendously. He is merely accepting what is being expressed, and he is receiving that and expressing excitement about it.
Yes, he does.
Without all of the complications.
That's so.
Therefore, in that, do you want to view what he is doing in the manner that he is doing it? No. That is an important factor. You are repelled in some capacity because you are not in agreement with how the other individual is choosing or expressing or behaving. You're not in agreement with how they are doing it, but there is a piece, there is a component in what they are expressing that you do want. You want that easiness. You want that uncomplicated aspect. To feel the excitement and the passion that you feel in relation to the information that you connect to, and to continue to move in your direction, but you also are attracted to or want that peace of not complicating it and expressing it in an easy capacity. There's always, always some component in what you are reflecting to yourself that you want, or you would not reflect that to you. Not present that to yourself. It does not mean that you want to do what the other individual is doing, or you want to think in the manner that the other individual is thinking, or that you want to feel what they are feeling. But there is some piece of what they are doing that you do want. And in reflecting that to yourself, it gives you the opportunity to see that and to apply that. This is what I have expressed over and over repeatedly, that not only are reflections not a mirror, therefore they are much more expansive in what they are presenting to you, but that your reality is so efficient, for there is nothing hidden from you. It's merely a matter of how you are paying attention and what you are paying attention to. It is not that anything in your reality is hidden from you, but you are reflecting to yourself every second of your existence in everything around you, not only people, everything around you is reflecting to you continuously, and there are many layers of those reflections, and in that, all of the information about yourself and what you are doing is held in those reflections. Therefore, it is precisely in front of you continuously. It is merely a matter of what you are looking at. And in this, it presents an excellent example. When you are viewing the other individual and you are reacting to them because they don't agree with you, or because what they are presenting in your perception seems to be incomplete or elementary or even incorrect, and what you are presenting is better, or you are right and they are not, which they are wrong, and in that, are you in the expression, in that reaction of being interconnected, or are you in the expression of being self-absorbed? Are you in the direction of being self-rich, and therefore you are dismissing anything outside of yourself? You already have it all, therefore there is nothing that anyone can offer, for you already have it all. Or are you the poor, and therefore are allowing and open to that extension of yourself, that connection, and allowing yourself to receive? The rich can only take and give. The poor can receive. And this, that statement of it is better to give than to receive is very incorrect. For I would express to you that you cannot actually genuinely give unless you know how to receive.
Very excellent point. Yeah.
Therefore, in that, the rich do not receive. Take, and they give, and what they give is forced. The poor receive and offer.
And offer, okay. Receive and offer. Well, that's something. I'll have to write that down. Those kind of resonate, that concept resonates with me. Accept and offer. That would be your definition of the poor in spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in that, if you are perceiving in that manner, then even when you disagree, or even when you are evaluating that you may be more expanded in your awareness than another individual, and that may be correct. You may be more expanded in your awareness. You may be more self-aware than another individual. And therefore, that is not a bad or incorrect assessment in relation to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It is a recognition of differences of position, differences of expression, or simply differences. Even in that, it is a matter of if you are aware of that factor of receiving and offering, what is this individual expressing that you can receive?
Okay, stop right here. I'm going to change my tape. Okay, I have them up and going because I don't want to miss these words here. I think there's some key words for me. Offering and, or receiving and offering, we're on. Okay, continue.
Even in a situation in which, let's say, you are expressing a conflict with another individual, and the other individual is yelling and expressing in an obnoxious or mean capacity and accusing and not listening to you, and you disagree with whatever the other individual is expressing, remember, it is not how they are doing it that holds the peace that you want. But in that, you may very much disagree with an individual in that situation. You may be very uncomfortable. You may not like what is occurring at all. And it may seem initially to be baffling. What could I possibly want in what this individual is doing? But in that, there may be a peace. It may be that in that moment, not how they are doing it, but the other individual is genuinely expressing themselves and not concerned with how they are doing it or whether it is correct or whether it is appropriate. They are merely expressing themselves, and they are allowing themselves to express a feeling. It may not be, in your assessment, the most efficient manner to do that, and you may not agree with how they are doing it, but they are doing it. And in that, you can assess with yourself how many times you are interacting with another individual that you disagree with, and you are being polite about it.
Mm-hmm.
Or how many times an individual may express in a manner that distresses you, or is hurtful to you, or that is uncomfortable for you, and you express nothing.
And I express nothing, vocally at least.
That you do not express that feeling, and therefore what do? You do not release that energy, and you hold it, and you place it in your invisible container that you carry with you everywhere until that container overflows and explodes.
Oh, I see what you mean. A geyser effect.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, in that individual that is yelling and screaming at you and accusing and is being very mean, the manner in which they are doing it, you can very much disagree with and not like it. And it is not a matter of attempting to like it. It is merely a matter of recognizing, but if I am looking for that piece of what I do want to be expressing my feelings and therefore releasing them and letting them go, not carrying them with me, not carrying that energy and then exploding it.
Mm-hmm.
I may not choose to do it in the manner that this individual is doing it, but it is valuable to me and important to me to express myself.
Which is why so many people are setting up blogs on the web so they can speak their voice and not be in contact person to person with the others that would not agree with me.
Yes. That is one reason, yes.
And that is I've been contemplating setting up a blog of my own so I could share concepts like that. There again, I have a too thin a skin, and so people who would say that they don't agree with me, I probably would have hurt feelings. And so
that,
yeah,
that another factor to acknowledge with yourself and to perhaps evaluate, for in that it is an expression of connecting your value with what other individuals think.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'll keep working on that.
Is it,
you know, would you give me just a straight out interpretation of blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? How would that be seen by people who are in the shift? How do they see that?
In precisely what
in
we have blessing.
Yeah. How would
benefit that acknowledging the value of being aware of interconnectedness, that you are not alone, that you are all interconnected, and in that is where the riches lie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's an interesting connection of words there. All right.
In this, that the kingdom of heaven, a symbol of no separation, of interconnectedness, of abundance, of riches, of all that is.
Oh, very good.
Careful, Adam. Blessed are you if you are aware of all that is.
Mm-hmm.
Hold that.
Blessed are you if you are aware of all, what was that, all connectedness?
All that is.
All of all that is. All right.
That is the expression of all that is that interconnectedness, that lack of separation.
Okay. I'm putting that down real quick, but I'll be listening to the tape again and writing it down in detail. Okay. Well, I thank you. We took about all my time just for that first beatitude. And the second one...
As I expressed to you, in these beatitudes, there is more information than you think.
Oh, I know. I know there is. And, of course, I've been in on a lot of discussions on these beatitudes, so this is a different way of looking at it.
More difficult than you think also.
They are what? More difficult?
More applicable.
Or applicable. More applicable, yes. Well, I suppose so. I used to just kind of poo-poo them because I didn't understand them. A lot of people do that.
Yes.
So I will find this very interesting to continue this as we go into other meetings. I think I'll leave it at just that first beatitude because I'd like to ask you some quick questions about a psychic. She calls herself a psychic medium, Christy Robinette. I've been reading her books. And what is interesting is that she talks about growing up in this haunted house. And of course, she is the only one in the family that sees all of these spirits or ghosts or whatever, and how terrified she was growing up in this house. And she says that she couldn't even sleep in her bedroom. She would have to sleep in the living room with lights on because it was such a nightmare. She says these spirits were free to roam in their house, and because they knew I could see them, it was a free-for-all for them to tease and abuse me at will. And she says, different from those that consoled me in the closet. See, she would go to a closet sometimes. It says, these other spirits were dark and evil even. And now that reminded me of Jane Roberts and her black entity, the demon that she had projected outside of herself. But anyway, she said that this sort of thing went on until she moved out of the house at age 19. I wanted to know, are there houses that are haunted like she's talking about?
This is a complex subject in one manner of speaking, and in that I would express that it is not as black and white as you think.
I'm sure it's not.
Every place has energy deposits. But there are some focuses that continue to interact with places and people in your physical reality, but it is more intricate than merely a matter of what you think of as haunting. First of all, it is not that they are stuck. And secondly, I would express that none of them are evil. It is a combination of whatever is being expressed by that individual that is no longer living, in your terms, and the interpretation and the belief of the individual that is physically focused, that has a tremendous interplay with what is actually occurring. And as I have expressed previously, your perception is what creates your reality. And if you perceive that something is evil and harmful and dangerous, then you will create expressions that reflect that. But does that necessarily mean that those expressions are evil and harmful? Not necessarily. It is how it is being perceived and how it is being interpreted. In that, there are individuals that are no longer physically focused that have not generated that final step, so to speak, which is figurative, in that last element of transition non-physically that sheds the association with the physical reality and choose to continue to be expressing in objective manners, and in that they can be connecting with physical focus. They even incorporate the ability, you all do, to manipulate matter in certain capacities and even project apparitions of themselves, which does require a considerable amount of energy, but it can be done. And in that, is their intention to be harmful or to be frightening or to be evil? No. That is the manner in which individuals within physical focus are translating whatever the other individual is doing, for the individual in physical focus is afraid. Unknown, it is unfamiliar, and they are afraid, and therefore they generate a perception in relation to their belief that this is bad and harmful and evil. That is not necessarily the actual situation, but it nonetheless is very real. The individual within physical focus will create very real experiences and manifestations to support their fear and support their belief. But we may engage this subject more so if you are so choosing futurely, but there are many different components in relation to what individuals think of or identify as hauntings, some of which are not an actual interaction at all. They are energy deposits and how the individual within physical focus is translating those and what they create, and the energy deposit is not creating any physical manifestation.
Yeah, I remember I've read some of the transcripts on these energy deposits. So, I will save this for the next time because the time is up. And I want to thank you for all of this detail of new words for me, associations that will I'll have to get my mind around. Anyway, this was kind of like going to church to learn the things that I can improve on spiritually. We'll put it that way. Anyway, this has been very, very informational and good information coming our way. Thank you so much for that.
Welcome. So, I come to our next meeting, my dear friend. And I am very encouraging of you in your expansion and your exploration. And offer my greetings to your group.
Thank you. I will do that. So I'll maybe see you in another month here.
Very well. Until our next meeting, wondrous lovingness to you as always. Au revoir.
And lovingness to you also. Goodbye.